This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow on the political battle that is likely coming to Michigan over redistricting. But first, recently, our listeners heard from researchers at the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research. Tim Bardick and Brad Hirschbein told us that their study found that the Kalamazoo Promise has helped boost college completion rates for its recipients in the Kalamazoo Public Schools. The director of Western Michigan University's Walker Institute for Race and Ethnic Relations warns that free college alone will not overcome inequality in income and opportunity. Tim Reddy has written a post for the Brookings Institution blog called "Free College is Not Enough, the Unavoidable Limits of the Kalamazoo Promise." Tim Reddy, thank you for being here.
Great to be here, Gordon.
Let's start with the question of what are the unavoidable limits of the Kalamazoo Promise?
Well, you know, for 50 years ago, James Coleman, you know, found that the biggest factors that influence education outcomes are the circumstances of kids outside of school. And interventions in the education sector have limits. About 85% of the outcomes, at least, for kids are related to their social and economic circumstances. The scholarship availability coming very late in the process after the completion of high school is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong about that. And it is making a difference. The problem is that so much more needs to be done, and we cannot really allow to have the promise be the primary or only thing that drives the agenda for greater economic and community development in Kalamazoo, which is the stated intention of the donors of the promise.
In other words, the quality of teaching, the quality of education, and the ease which with someone can get to college is only going to influence the child so much as compared to their home environment.
Home environment, community environment, stresses associated with poverty, various factors that really study after study have shown make a huge difference in outcomes for kids.
So if we were looking for the right complement to the Kalamazoo Promise, and it may not be one thing, but in the opinion of Tim Reddy, what else should be there that makes the Kalamazoo Promise more effective than it is now?
Well, I think that doing more to improve the economic circumstances of low-income families is obviously that's a hard thing to do, but it's probably an essential thing to do. Does it make a difference in education outcomes? Research shows that it does. And there are studies, for example, Project New Hope in Milwaukee did increase access to better paying jobs, increased employment of people living in a low-income neighborhood in that community of Milwaukee. And there were lasting effects on education outcomes for kids. Similarly, another study of what had been a low-income American Indian community after gaming was introduced and some of the revenues of gaming came into play, there was, again, a lasting effect on education outcomes for those kids. And so there are lots of studies, there are lots of ways that poverty influences outcomes for kids, just about all of them negative. So poverty is a word that's vague to some people, what it means. How does poverty influence outcomes for kids? Simply raising income and improving the economic stability so that families don't have to worry about housing insecurity, food insecurity, and all the stresses that come with being poor makes a difference. So the money itself makes a difference, and there are lots of other factors associated with poverty that make a difference. And so these are the sorts of things that I think we need to work on and pay more attention to in this community. Shared Prosperity Kalamazoo, which is a new initiative of the Kalamazoo City Commission, is one concrete thing that we are attempting to do. We are working to improve access to well-paying jobs for low-income families to improve the economic stability and strength of those low-income families. And also, we're focused on having better coordination among youth development programs, both in-school and out-of-school programs that exist in this city.
I recall when the Kalamazoo Promise was first announced, I believe the following weekend, maybe the weekend after that, there was this meeting of community leaders about, okay, well, we've got this wonderful gift. How do we truly take advantage of it? And some things have sprung up ever since. would your argument be that they weren't exactly the right things, if you, at least you're going to try to get at the issue of raising people out of poverty? Or would you make the argument that maybe some of the right things have been done, there just need to be more of them?
I don't think I would take issue with any of the good things that have come since then. You know, certainly the focus on improving access to early childhood education, enormously important, and the other things as well. It's just that the agenda needs to be broader.
Broader.
Yep, broader, bolder, and more inclusive, and again, addressing some of the issues of stabilizing the economic security of families. You know, it's important to remember, of course, the Kalamazoo Public School District includes more than the city, but the great majority of kids live in the city. Over the last decade or so, the child poverty rate in Kalamazoo has ranged between the 90th and 97th percentile for all cities in the United States. That is not an insignificant thing, and you can't expect, based on just about all the data that exists on education outcomes, that you're going to get stellar outcomes for kids who are dealing with such difficulties. We also have higher income inequality and segregation by income in the Kalamazoo community than we do in at least 80% of other cities in the United States. Both of these things, and including some new research by Raj Chetty of Harvard, show that these things matter, and they have outcomes on the prospects for social mobility for kids. And again, the scholarship makes a difference. It helps. My sense is that if you look at the kids who actually received the promise between 06 and 08, and looking at the administrative data from the promise, if we take that 36% of kids prior to the promise were getting some kind of post-secondary credential, my review of the administrative data shows that 40% of kids are now getting some credential after 6 years. In contrast, the Upjohn paper claims that while controlling for socioeconomic status of students and having a lower percentage of kids on free and reduced lunch and the demographic composition of the district that existed prior to 2006, it would be an increase of about a third, and about 48% of kids would be getting credentials, but that's not what's actually happened. What's actually happened is the kids who are here today who have a different socioeconomic profile than the pre-promise kids, about 40% of them are actually getting credentials.
If Tim Bardick or Brad Hirschbein were here right now, we might end up with a big debate over these numbers and how they play out. But let me, for the sake of argument, assume I'm going to go with your numbers right now. Mm-hmm. And we'll say, 36 to 40%.
It's important.
It's important. It's not huge, though.
Right. That's right.
So, if that's the case, then is your other statement, I guess, somewhat under question that, yes, this is worthwhile. This is a lot of money which is being spent on the promise. If it's only getting us from 36 to 40%, would we be spending the money better somewhere else?
I think that not only the Kalamazoo community, but the whole nation needs to address the cost of higher education, which is becoming increasingly unaffordable for low-income and middle-class kids alike. So this is, without a doubt, an extremely important intervention. I wish it were taken care of through public policy. Michigan is one of only, I think, seven states, if I'm not mistaken, that spends more on the prison system than it does on higher education. We have our priorities backwards.
But the Kalamazoo Promise, the way it's constructed, universal, place-based, still the right thing to do, even if other things need to be done along with it, in your opinion?
I think it's great. It benefits a lot of middle and upper middle income kids too. That's fine. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't really question that, and I'm thankful that we have it.
Let me go to those numbers you mentioned just a little bit ago about poverty in Kalamazoo. Now, there's a lot of sort of external factors which were going on here. Of course, the promise was first announced in the fall of 2005. It was the class of 2006 who were the first ones that were able to benefit from it. And then we had this thing called the Great Recession come along a few years later.
Right.
It's hard to know exactly how much that might have skewed these numbers, isn't it? Aren't there a lot of things that are hard to know what they might have done to the statistics on poverty in Kalamazoo?
It's hard to know, but Kalamazoo has had a very, very high child poverty rate long before the Great Recession. The Great Recession undoubtedly increased it. It is interesting, however, that every year sequentially, since the data that I have available to me going back at least 10, shows that the percentage of kids in Kalamazoo Public Schools on free and reduced lunch has continued to rise even last year as we're emerging from the recession. So I think there are other things going on in addition to the Great Recession.
Let me ask you, and again, this is all theory, but I'll just ask you to speculate on it with me for a moment. Is it possible that some people have been drawn to Kalamazoo who are perhaps right around the poverty line, maybe a little below it, because of the Kalamazoo Promise? They may have kids in school. They can find a place which is relatively affordable in Kalamazoo, especially if they're not that far away. And if they do have a job, even if it's not paying well, they can get there. I mean, could the Kalamazoo Promise be luring some people to Kalamazoo who help drive up the poverty rate?
It's possible, but I don't think it's a big factor for a couple of reasons. One is that it's not just Kalamazoo that is seeing a steady increase, even post-recession, in the percentage of kids on free and reduced lunch. This is a broader trend. And secondly, Brad Hirschbein wrote another paper in which he analyzed the enrollment trends in the district. And it was just in the first couple of years that the district's rather remarkable increase in enrollment of 25% since the promise was announced. Huge. In the first couple of years, that was people moving into the district, enrollment of new students was a big factor. After the first couple of years, that has not been a big factor, as I understand Brad's paper. It's really the increase compared to the past is due in recent years to fewer people moving out of the district. So we're not seeing the attrition of people moving to other districts that we have seen in the past, and that's mostly what's accounted for the increase in enrollment.
Not surprisingly, your blog post led to a fairly lively discussion in the comments section on the Brookings Institution site. I don't normally like to go into the comments for ideas on questions, but it did seem like it was a pretty respectful discussion in this case, but lively. And a lot of the comments directed back to your writing was that no one ever said this was going to be a silver bullet, that this was never going to be the one thing that improve social mobility in Kalamazoo. Is that fair?
I think it's fair to a point. It isn't the only thing, but on the other hand, it has kind of driven the agenda in our community about changes going on. And a number of us think that the agenda needs to be much broader, including the mayor and others with whom I'm working on Shared Prosperity Kalamazoo, that if we're going to make a difference, and it's not just the promise numbers that are the outcomes that we're looking for. It's a more inclusive development so that everybody gets to share in the prosperity that does exist here. We are a very, in many ways, an affluent community, but our affluence is not spread very evenly at all.
You note that this is kind of driving the agenda. I mean, is it reasonable for someone to look at the Kalamazoo Promise as maybe the center of that effort to improve social mobility? That there will be other things, but they revolve in many ways around the promise.
I think that's accurate as to what has been going on. And I think that I would argue and others would argue that that we need to go out from that center further than we have gone so far.
Are some of the things you're talking about, the root causes of poverty, how to get children from a situation of poverty to success in school, these are things that people have been working on for many years and in many places beyond Kalamazoo, Michigan. So are you asking all of us, I guess, to continue working on what I think most people would say is a pretty difficult problem?
Oh, it's certainly a difficult problem. And I think that my view is that it's unrealistic to expect that education is going to sort of go off the scale in a great direction, in the positive direction that all of us want, without addressing the underlying social and economic inequalities that exist. It's important to remember that the state of California had virtually free tuition for many, many years, as did the City University of New York. Very good things for those geographic locations. Did it totally change the social order of those places? No. and in the years since, this community as well as the country as a whole, we've become more and more unequal. And there's, I think, a real threat to the possibility of social mobility for kids, which is getting more and more serious.
You note we're becoming more unequal. Income inequality has, of course, become something that people have focused on, but lots of other areas where people see a widening gap between the haves and the have-nots, for lack of a better term. In that sense, has the Kalamazoo Promise then started at a time when it had to swim upstream even a little harder than it would have otherwise?
Yes, but, you know, there's some data that show that, you know, more people end up going to college during economic downturns because there's no work, and so they're going to be going to college anyway. I was just looking this up last night, and there was a recent study of 2008 graduates nationwide, whether their completion rate was higher or not because it, you know, related to the economic downturn. It was not. So, you know, that would suggest we are, you know, making a difference here. Enrollment was higher, but completions were not higher. And I think that that's one area where the promise is making a very important difference. And I think the fact that it came online during the recession was very fortuitous for our community.
Tim Reddy, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Tim Reddy is the director of Western Michigan University's Walker Institute for the Study of Race and Ethnic Relations. A link to his blog post for the Brookings Institution called Free College is Not Enough, the Unavoidable Limits of the Kalamazoo Promise, can be found at WMUK.org.